God is trustworthy, a truth that should undergird our lives, according to Pastor Ray Bentley.
It's interesting that one of the major themes of the Bible is that God keeps His promises. And you know, there are in the Bible some 7,000 promises. And one thing I'd like to encourage you to do as you read through the Bible, and I encourage you to read it daily, look for the promises of God. The Lord is faithful.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We can all think of times when someone's let us down. They gave us their word, but they didn't follow through. Now, we may have been guilty of that ourselves, but God's promises are trustworthy. And today, Pastor Ray takes us to 2 Thessalonians for a good look at how we can lean on what God has told us.
Well, let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. Paul says, "Finally, brethren," brothers and sisters, "pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith." Now, Paul, the apostle, is asking for prayer. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly." Now, Paul paints an image of himself that he is a runner, and he is a runner carrying a gift, carrying a message, which is the word of God. Now, Paul may have been thinking of the Isthmian Games. We believe that he wrote this letter from this city, another city in Greece, ancient Greece, called Corinth, where the first and second Corinthians come from. And it's in Corinth they held what were called the Isthmian Games, or what we call them today, the Olympic Games. But this idea of the Word of God running throughout the earth to accomplish God's will is found not even just in the New Testament, but begins in the Old Testament. Psalm 147, verse 15 says, "He sends His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly." There's an Old Testament idea of the Word of God running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Paul is praying for the evangelization of the Roman Empire. After he started this church in Thessaloniki, Greece, he then went on to the city of Berea, also in Greece. He then went on to Athens, which was the intellectual capital of the Roman Empire, then to Corinth, which was the commercial business capital of the Roman Empire. He had dreams of evangelizing all of Italy and Rome, which was the political capital. "Pray that the gospel may run swiftly in every direction." That was Paul's prayer 2,000 years ago. The church has been adding to those prayers and running with the message of the gospel ever since. I don't think that Paul could have, 2,000 years ago, dreamed or imagined the world that has become today. Maybe he can see it from heaven, but surely back then he could not have known. Today, in the world, there are about 2.5 billion people who claim to be Christians. And I think that Paul longed to see the things that we are seeing in our generation. As a Kenyan scholar, John Mabiti has observed, he's a Christian scholar, he said, quote, "The centers of the church's universality are no longer in Geneva, Rome, Athens, Paris, London, and New York. But they are now in Kinshasa, Buenos Aires, Addis Ababa, and Manila." And when you think about Asia, and specifically in China, the records and the reports that we have now are that every single day there are between 20 and 30,000 new believers in Jesus Christ in the country of China alone. 20 to 1,000 every single day. You can imagine what that is doing to the growth of the church in that country. They estimate, they don't even know because it's hard to count all of them, but at the least they say there's 80 million. There could be as many as 100 million believers. In fact, it would be true to say today that there are more Christians in China than any other country, including the United States, in the entire world. In fact, that would be, if the Holy Spirit's moving throughout the earth is a would be like a wave, the very crescent of that wave would be in China. So we're living in exciting times. Paul's prayer is being answered, and so we pray. And I'm so blessed that we get to be part of it. We get to have our missions and our opportunities and being part of this last great end times harvest in time for the Lord to come. Now look with me in verses 3 through 5. Paul goes on to say that God is faithful to his word. He says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you. That means he's going to strengthen you. He will establish you and guard you or protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. In other words, he is saying, have confidence. God's word is going to accomplish everything he sent it to do. Matthew chapter 24, I believe verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. That's what is happening right now. God is giving every man, every nation, every language, every kindred, every tribe, an opportunity to hear the message of his love and either to receive it or to reject it, but that all might hear the whole gospel going to the whole world. And God is faithful. It's interesting that one of the major themes of the Bible is that God keeps his promises. And you know, they've actually counted. There are in the Bible some 7,000 promises. And one thing I'd like to encourage you to do as you read through the Bible, and I encourage you to read it for yourselves and read it daily, and to take it from just learning facts and stories and information, and what will make it devotional is look for promises that you can apply or claim for yourself. It's almost like having a checkbook, a heavenly divine checkbook, with 7,000 checks in it. And all you have to do is sign your name and put what you are wanting and desiring for this promise to apply to your life. Look for the promises of God. The Lord is faithful. Here are some scriptures. One is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, out of the New King James Version. Let's read this scripture out loud together. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. I like that. That's the prophet Samuel. And the Lord told him, look, I'm with you, and as you grow, Samuel, as you prophesy, I will not let my words fall to the ground. In other words, be empty or meaningless or unfulfilled. Jeremiah was a young man. We believe he was a teenager when God first called him to be a prophet to the nation. And this is what the Lord said to him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, out of the NIV. Let's read this. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I'm going to watch, Jeremiah, everything that I speak through you, it will happen, it will be fulfilled, it will come to pass. You wait, you watch, you will see. And then the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11, out of the New King James Version, let's read this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God has already, he's laid out everything. He's laid out not only the past, he's laid out the present, he's laid out the future, and the Lord will, he is faithful to accomplish his word. And I'm telling you, whoa, there's some great promises for you and me personally, where God says, I promise, I have buried your sins, I will remember them no more. I like that. Because one of the problems even being here on this planet is, okay, Lord, forgive me, and then we ask forgiveness, we receive forgiveness, or we forgive somebody else, but we remember. And that is one of the tools God is using to shape and chisel our character. But there is a day coming when those tools will be set aside. As the Bible says, the former things will no longer be brought to remembrance. And you say, well, how could God not remember? He's God. Because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. And if he wants to forget, I'm not going to remind him. And that's just one of the things. As far as the East is from the West, he says he promises to glorify us and perform within us to develop the character of Jesus Christ. That's why heaven is going to be so awesome, so amazing. And in the meantime, he will strengthen you. He will protect you from the evil one. And he will direct your heart to the love of God and to the patience of Christ. For this brief little dash of our lives on the earth, it does require patience. And I don't know anybody who likes learning patience. I don't know any human being in a fallen world that is good at it. I think that we all struggle with being patient. But as James said, let patience have its perfect work. It is working on us. It is honing us. It is polishing us. It is shaping us. And we learn and draw an example from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So God keeps his word and God keeps his promises. And I would add, this is what is happening in the world today. God is accomplishing right now with what's happening in the Middle East and what's happening in the world politically and all around the planet right now. God is accomplishing his word. Now, I've had a number of people ask, okay, so, you know, Pastor Ray, what do you think is happening? What does this mean? And how do we attach it to the prophecies and so forth? And while I could give you ideas, I could give you some speculations, but I don't feel like that would be good to do, to share with you speculations. And the reason is because, as I've been saying the last couple of years, and I will repeat it now, prophecy is best understood after it has already happened. That's the truth. In fact, Jesus said that very same thing. He would tell his disciples, look, this is going to happen. You're not going to get it. He didn't tell them so that they could figure it out beforehand so much. He said, you're not going to remember it. You're not even going to understand it. He says, but after it has happened, then you will remember what I said and be able to attach the prophecy to the actual events. In other words, hindsight has much clearer or 20/20 vision. For instance, now in our generation, we know that there was a big debate for 2,000 years in the church about Israel and would it become a nation? Is that literal? Is it spiritual or whatever? Has the church replaced Israel? And then in 1948, it actually became a nation and literally all kinds of things. It's almost like a chain of events have begun to evolve in the world. But that's exactly now we can look back and say, well, that's what is happening is what the prophet said would happen. God said in the latter years, in the latter days, Ezekiel chapters 36, 37, in the latter years and the latter days before what? Before the great day of the Lord. God said, I will regather my people from the four corners of the earth, and I will bring them back to their original homeland. When that happens, it will create trouble for the whole world, and they will be surrounded on all sides by enemies. There will be a crisis of leadership, and there will be a cry from the nations and a demand for peace, a covenant of peace. Well, now that it's all happened, we look backwards at it, and even where we are now, we go, wow, that's pretty plain to see what is happening. Where this will go now, I don't know. How far it will go, I don't know. But after it happens, then maybe we can look back and see more clearly. Here's what I do know. I do know God's on the throne. I know that God's in charge. I know that God has a purpose and a plan. I know that beyond the political arena, on a deeper level, here's how God is, I know, using what's happening in the Middle East right now. pray, as Paul said, pray for the believers in Israel. Pray for your believing brothers and sisters in Lebanon. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Syria, 10% of which are Christian. And by the way, Syria originally was predominantly a Christian nation. Christianity was the root. It is still really the roots of the country of Syria. And as far as Iran is concerned, there are believers there. And pray for the believers to have strength and boldness, who we are already hearing are standing up in the midst of the terror and the fear and the chaos, and are shining brightly like beacons of light to those, their neighbors, their friends, their families, their relatives, their co-workers, who are coming to them. And little by little, they're sharing the word with them, and they're winning them in these tumultuous times into the eternal kingdom of heaven. God is harvesting right now. You won't read about it in the papers. You won't see it on TV. But that's what, as far as God is concerned, is most precious to him, is those hearts that are coming into the kingdom. Pray that the word and the gospel will run swiftly in the midst of all this, and that the Lord would add to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, look with me in verses 6 through 10, and we'll close with this. Here's a warning in the last days against idleness. Paul says, "But we command you, brethren." Now, the command is a strong word. When you command somebody, sometimes they go, "Wait, what do you mean commanding me?" But he follows it with brothers. That softens it. This is a brother talking to a brother. "In the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother." He doesn't say every enemy. He says, "But withdraw from every brother." In other words, a little discipline, a little friction in the family, a problem that needs addressing, "who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition he received from us." And now he explains it. "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us." Then verse 10, we'll close with this. "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." In summary, the problem was Paul had brought this big, powerful message. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Get ready. So some of the young, able-bodied guys that could work decided that, well, if the Lord's coming any day, forget work. Let's go sit up on the roof. We'll have theological discussions all day and talk about, you know, the end times. And then they were mooching off the people who actually did have jobs and were providing, as the church then took tithes and offerings and took care of the poor and the orphans and the widows, etc. And Paul said, that's not the tradition we gave. Even when I was with you, and I'm an apostle, I have the right to make my livelihood off of this, but being a traveling evangelist, I did not, to be an example to you. I worked as a tent maker while I was with you. So here is, and he lays down, here's the principle for the church. If you don't work, you don't eat. In other words, you're not going to get any of the benevolence or any of the help practically if you don't work. In other words, Jesus put it this way. He said, "Occupy till I come." That word "occupy" means be busy about your work. Remember what Jesus said in the temple: "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business? I'm doing the work that he has called me to do." And some people have this erroneous idea that work is evil or bad, or it's the result of the curse, when in fact God gave work to Adam and Eve before the fall, before sin, before the curse and the sweat of the brow. He told Adam and Eve, he made the whole, this beautiful, beautiful paradise planet. And then he planted a garden on the top of a mountain called Eden. And he says, "I give you the whole planet. Now dress it." In other words, make gardens and till the soil and plant it as you wish and design it and name the plants and name the animals. There was all kinds of work to be done, but it wasn't with the sweat of the brow or the curse or decay or disease or death that followed the disobedience. But do not think that when we get to heaven, some people think that heaven, It's like, okay, all we're going to do is float around like little ethereal beings, maybe a little harp playing once, and it sounds eternally, and people go, that's boring. May I add to that? It is boring. And may I add, that's not what we're going to do. There's going to be a lot to do. God created the earth and heaven, and 1,000 years on the earth will be paradise. God's going to restore it as it originally was. We're going to be doing all kinds of things. Only you'll get to do what you want and what you love and are gifted and talented and uniquely enabled to do, not what you have to do. God works. That's the first, the story of creation is God worked. Yes, he rested on the Sabbath, but he worked as well, and he's creative. And God wants your creative juices to be working. One thing, have you noticed that God called people who were busy at work, he called them to follow him or into the ministry. Ruth was working in the fields when God called her to enter into the relationship with Boaz and become the grandmother of King David. Moses was caring for sheep as a shepherd when God called him. Joshua was Moses' servant for many, many years in Exodus chapter 33, and then God called him while he was serving Moses. Gideon was threshing wheat at a time when Israel was afraid of the Midianites and most people were hiding in caves, not doing anything, just trembling in the darkness. Gideon was out working, threshing the wheat, and God called him while he was threshing. And then David was caring for his father's sheep. Jesus called at least four of his disciples as fishermen while they were fishing with their nets, so that they had to drop their nets to then go and follow him. And Paul was a tent maker who used his trade to support his ministry. God likes work. He honors work, and work is that is creative work that provides for your dependents, your children, your parents, whoever God has brought into your life. Jesus said, occupy until I come. It is not healthy, according to the scriptures, to just be sitting around idle. It is where problems arise. Usually it's where people take theological differences and make wedges out of them to divide the body. It is also a great place for gossip to begin. But there is something healing and healthy about work that is honest, that is good, that is honoring to the Lord, and where you are being faithful to him. That's where God looks when he is looking for a man or for a woman that might be able to serve him in the harvest.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with insight on what God desires in his children. Good insight from our studies in 2 Thessalonians here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called The Faithfulness of God. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Thessalonians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Thessalonians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.